Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. That's an entry song, intro song. Welcome to the Man Cave. Stumbled in. I'm here. I'm Jay Hatter, along with Steven 76 from a piece of poetic life. Is that it?
Yeah. A poetic slice of life.
Poetic slice of life. Yeah, we get together once a month. Talk about the weird stuff that's happening around us, which happening all the time. Getting a break from the poetry. We are a group of, I like the way Rack said it last night. He said we are a bunch of idiots. No, not idiots. We hang out together at allpoetry.com in a group called All a Team of Voices, A-T-O-V, and a piece of poetic life. Slice of life. Why can I remember that? you want to hit what your calendar looks like going up through the weekend, Stephen?
Sure, let me see over here. Let me run over there real quick and take a peek. I know tomorrow night is Storyboards with Sky Darkholm, and she is featuring quotes or character rights from the double feature, the two Mannequin movies, Mannequin, the first Mannequin and Mannequin 2, both done in the 80s. I know Jefferson Starship did the song for the first Mannequin. Never really saw the second one, but the first one was good. Andrew McCarthy and Kim Cattrall, so kind of like that. Right. Kind of like that pair.
That's right.
And then the mortuary is Monday at 7:30, and that's going to be open dark poetry.
Open dark. Well, that sort of fits me. I think I fall in that genre. we like to take a look too at what national holiday. It is today, Friday, the 26th of August, the year of our Lord, 2022. Today was National Cherry Popsicle Day, National Dog Day, National Dog Day, and National Got Checked Day. Oh,
got
yeah,
checked.
And National Women, National Got Checked, like checked in hockey.
Hockey?
Got checked.
Hockey, yeah.
Well, I don't know if that's what it means. I think somebody just checked you out, maybe.
Yes.
Also, National Women's Equality Day.
There you go. I wish I'd have known it was National Check Day for a couple of customers that I had to deal with earlier today. I could have just wham.
Way up against the wall. A little roller derby. Yeah, check him. Yeah. That's today, but this is the end of today. What we're going to do, but tomorrow, that's what we're going to do. Tomorrow. I hope that's today. for tomorrow. I'm surprised. Somebody went through and named all these things on these days. I mean, tomorrow is real easy. It's just because today, just because day. And pots de la crème, de crème day. That's it. A lot to look forward to on that.
Yeah.
See, I've got, check this out. Oscar Mayer is now selling frozen wiener pops.
Wiener pops.
Man,
wow.
You know, nothing like working all day, working all in the afternoon, in the hot sun all afternoon and kicking back with a hot wiener. I mean, a frozen wiener. doesn't sound good. It doesn't sound good at all.
No, I'm not, no.
Yeah, I know.
We sell, believe it or not, frozen salmon dogs.
Really? It's almost a little more palatable than a frozen wiener, but it says that the two summer staples, they decided to, you know, let's make it all, let's join them together, hot dogs and popsicles.
I've eaten raw hot dogs before and I like them, but I don't know, frozen. How do you eat it?
I know. There's a ton of jokes there. I wouldn't get caught. Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't that be similar, like a corn dog is the exact opposite then of a wiener sickle.
A wiener sickle. Yeah. It says, check this out, quote, both are refreshing and smoky.
It's refreshing, yeah. There you go.
Smoky.
I'm getting horrible images in my head.
I know. I know. We got to pull up. See if you can pull it up, a picture of Oscar Mayer.
I'm going to look and see if I can find something here.
It's called the cold dog.
Cold dog.
Is it a stupid snack or a genius dessert?
Wow.
Anyway, somebody was overwhelmed and excited about this. This has got to be fair stuff. I mean, you know, if you get one person to try it, and even if they don't like it, you sold a million of them at the state fair. $2 a piece at the pop bar.
God. All I'm finding is pictures of dogs and jackets.
Say that again. Go ahead. You know, you got to throw a banana around it. There,
it's making me think of a contest that ran a while ago. I'm going to find it. I'll see.
Here's something you'd probably be a little more related to. You know, a purring cat can be a sign of happiness and contentment, right?
Yes.
Cats purr to calm themselves down.
Yes.
Yep. Then answer me this. Why do cats rub up against you? And we're not talking headbutts. We're talking rubbing up against you.
To show that you are theirs.
Pretty much. I would guess that, too. Let's see. How I feel like friends have been put together. Pa-pa. Yeah, and when they butt head, that's a sign of part of the clan being accepted. Back in the Egyptian times, cats. Yeah, I walk in the room, I get headbutted all the time. Okay. And when a cat licks you, it's not like a dog. Well, maybe it is like a dog. Cat licks you, he's loving you, right? Tasting you.
Yeah. There, I got a nice picture of the dogs on the board there.
Okay, let me run over there. I don't want to lose my spot there. Okay, run. There's you. This little blinking cat. It's a massive. When a cat nestles up to you, against you, rubbing his head behind your legs and shoulders, and sends you didn't show any signs of affection. That's it. You need to say we knew that.
Yeah.
With its touch, the cat is sharing its scent with you, and in turn making you part of his family or her family. So when the cat rubs up against you, and you go to your friend's house, he's got a dog, and he's just going to get his nose off you. That's what he's doing. Go for your cat.
Yeah.
You got a cat in your pocket. Yeah. And interesting, one cat's meow. Can be for attention, yes. Really, love
yes.
And food, love. Let's see. Okay. I have to go in and share cookies if I want any more of that story. One of the. Oh, did you see in Egypt, or was it Turkey or Egypt? Ancient tablet Sumerian. In Iraq, archaeologists in Iraq uncovered an ancient clay tablet with the first bar joke.
Oh.
They found it in the late 1800s.
Well,
tablet is 4,000 years old. It is roughly translated from the dead language of the Sumerian. The joke reads, a dog walks into a bar and says, I cannot see a thing. I'll open this one. Get it? Scholars certainly did not, nor did the thousands of Twitter and Reddit users who responded to a viral post about the joke in March. Okay. Dog walks into the bar and says, I cannot see a thing. I'll open this one.
Huh. Maybe he wanted to put on a beer goggle.
Wait. Maybe he's not talking about a drinking bar. He's talking about a metal bar.
Maybe he hit his head so hard that he couldn't see. I don't know. That's a tough one.
It says, nor did the thousands. Yeah. Probably some type of pun. So these are guesses. Somebody guesses some kind of pun. Because understanding it could reveal something. Oh, there's actually, okay. This is the intro to what makes a funny joke article. Okay, I don't get it. I just don't get it.
No, I don't
I'll
either.
Open this.
Back in the...
I don't...
BCs, it must have been funny somehow. Or maybe it wasn't, and that's why it got buried.
Yeah. Get this one.
Tom, they need to rebury it.
Yeah. Bring it out. See if we have caught up. Kind of humorically, if next time we pull it out, maybe we'll get it. Let's do the jokes. Let's make some jokes. And he says, knock, knock. Ben, who's there? Emery, oh, God, I didn't have anything to say after that. What? Okay. Bail.
Why did the chicken cross the road?
Right. Why did the chicken cross the road? Why?
Get to the other side, I guess. I don't know. I was just.
You say?
I don't think chickens crossroads, do they?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I see people with chickens all over, you know, where I live, and they just have them roaming around their yard free as a bird, and they'll walk up to the road, but they won't walk into it.
Well, after the first one gets hit, they pretty much know not to go there. I was surrounded by hundreds of chickens on Chicken Mountain. These are sort of exotic breeds for pets and such. And chickens aren't as dumb as you think they are, and their world is brutal, just like most all of Mother Nature.
Yeah.
It's the roosters get a bad role in life. They will lay their life down for their hens, whether it be a hawk or another dog or whatever. They'll go out there and fight them while the babies of the mom go hide.
Well, I did not know that.
Yeah, geese are the same way. Very protective. And
I've been chased by geese before, so I know that one.
Yeah, you know, the mean ones are the swans.
I've been bit in the hindquarters one before. It hurts.
Oh, yeah. I had a turkey hit me so hard, I was looking around, thought I got hit by a dog that was in full run. And I'm looking around, I don't see nothing, and finally realized that the freaking turkey standing there hit me. And I thought I broke a bone in my hand. Hit me that hard. Of course, this was a what they call a aerosol. It's not a tuxedo. It's basically the turkey that everybody tries to draw when you're in kindergarten or first grade. Cut out, you know, your hand. The picture is usually one of these turkeys. They get it. The males were like 40, 50 pounds. They were huge. Big respect for turkeys. It'd drive you crazy. I wish I would remember. Okay. Going back to the... So... You watching any preseason?
I have not watched any football yet at all.
Yeah, I usually don't either. I don't care for preseason. Can it still be a win-loss if you have an interconference tie? Do they go to preseason still?
You know, I think
it's only made a difference twice that I know of, that it went down to a wild card berth, and they had to go to preseason if they had met. I don't know how it went, but they went to preseason. So, you know, the win could technically decide your season.
Yeah, I'm looking right now. I just have to word myself properly.
No. I forgot to introduce Deborah. Deborah's in the background doing all the heavy lifting so we can sit here and look pretty. Thank you, Deb.
Welcome.
Hey, she is there.
Yeah, there she is. And if she wants to take that picture off the wall, you can. We were talking about hot dogs, so I thought it fit.
Oh, I know. I think I found another browser that I can do this. I do like my new phone, but I can't figure out how to if I'm talking to you on the phone and then my phone rings, I don't know how to bring up the other screen to either decline or answer it. Or Deborah calls all the time, and I can't answer it. I have to call right back.
I have no idea. I've never tried. I just got a new phone myself, so there's certain things I'm learning as well about it.
Yeah, I got a Motorola this time. I liked it. The screen, the pixels. Oh, okay. All right. A Motorola?
Hello. Yeah. Hello, Moto.
Probably the same damn one.
Might be. You got three cameras?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, but it's
yes, I do. Yep, big M in the middle. Yeah, it holds a lot of charge, a lot of memory.
It does. Yeah, it does. The main thing. Now we're doing a commercial for Motorola, but I'll go to work for 9 hours and I'll still be in the 90 percentile on my battery when I get home.
Yep. That's planned that way. 2 years. 2 years of your phone's slowing down.
Yeah.
I heard that they do that on purpose. Even Gates, at some point, if you don't upgrade to Windows whatever he wants you to do, he eventually stops supplying the patches and the security for XL or Vista or whatever you were happy with and didn't want to change. He makes
it.
And Steve
nice.
Jobs, the new phone won't take the old charger.
Right.
What's up with that?
Yeah.
That's your hero. Okay.
That's the. That's all the new phones have that new connector that the old chargers don't work on.
I like this one that snaps in, and I don't think there's a top and bottom. I don't think there's a top and bottom. It seems to fit in anywhere. I just get it right all the time.
That's how you try to fumble in the dark to plug it in, and it just never works. You always get it the wrong way.
You know, they say that's because you only remember the times that it did it. Bullshit. I kept track. It's just like the USB thing, in your adapter. Always upside down. Never right.
Yep.
So what I do is I get it lined up before I put it in. I turn it over. I put it in. I'm wrong. I'm right more than 60% of the time. So I haven't heard any more of these tic tac things. Oh shit! Hold on.
Oh. What was that? Uh-oh. Now we're listening to Queen.
Did it leave you all alone? Where'd you go, Hatter?
I was boiling eggs.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Didn't want
ended
you even
boiling
there all alone. Bye.
They were glowing. They were popping.
Popping? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's not a good thing. I remember the time I had to disengage the stove from the breaker at the service at my mom's house because she would leave stuff on and forget. Oh, no. I have to disconnect it myself.
Oh, I've done some crazy stuff when it comes to cooking.
Sure.
I remember we used to, because we didn't have, when the one place we were living, we didn't have a lot of places to keep things. And believe it or not, for a while there, we were actually keeping stuff in the oven, and I completely forgot about it when I set it to preheat to cook some pizza.
Hey, we had, I was an electrician for years, and when you start roughing in, wiring the places, you do the models first. There's usually three or four of them, and then you start your track home. And the appliances were hooked up, but I mean, were delivered. Believe it or not, an electrician has to be the one to plug the, if it's an electric range, plug the stove in the oven, right?
Mm-hmm.
We were always told leave all the covers, wrappers, stickers, everything on it. And, you know, I had even warned them. I said, well, make sure that the breaker's always off. And I almost went and undid it, but I didn't. He told me to leave it there. One of the grounds crew or somebody walked by and turned it on the way they burned that sucker down. That's not a good sign.
No.
Because there he goes, oh, electrician. Electrician probably did it. No.
Yeah.
Turned it on, walked away, and it had all that plastic and shit in the oven.
Yeah, wow. So,
yeah, just that was one of my first foreman jobs. This is not good. And everybody hears about the bottle that Rome burned down. All right, where was I? I'm all upset. Burned eggs.
So, what do you get when you cross a polar bear with a seal?
Polar bear with a seal. I don't know, but
a polar bear.
A what?
A polar bear.
Oh,
seal
yeah.
Doesn't have a chicken.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw. I always think that the documentaries about the polar bear, even when they're just being documented in their wild, they just have a hard existence. I saw this one, he was so, this male, I don't know if it's a male, female, was so hungry, it tried to attack these freaking 2-ton, 3-ton freaking walruses, right? And the hide's so, the blubber is so thick on the walrus, it's really, polar bear can't do a lot of damage. You got to isolate you, well, it's got to be a smaller one, you know. But anyway, he was fighting with this one walrus, and he turned around and stabbed him with his tusk, and that was it for the polar bear. He died. Wow.
Wow. Yeah. Some of the more, what did you call them? Like cuddly or gentler looking creatures can be the most deadly, like the hippopotamus. You don't want to mess with one of those.
Oh, yeah. A leopard seal. Oh, yeah, hippopotamus. I remember, I always thought they ate a lot of pancakes. When I was a kid, there was some book at the circus, and the hippopotamus got fed pancakes. But, yeah, you know, and they keep saying the bite of a hippopotamus can cut a crocodile in two. I want to see that. Why don't they have pictures of that? Because he could mess him up and he could kill him, but I don't know. Come on, break him and slice him in two. I want to see that. You're going to keep saying it. Yeah,
that is interesting.
Some of those videos of the hippopotamus rushing the boats is just terrifying.
Yeah. That up here.
Yeah, I guess if they could move on land, they come on the land at night, I guess they can freaking, you ain't got a chance there either.
Let's see here.
Yeah.
10 strongest bite forces in the world. I'm going to this site to check it out.
Bite forces. All right, let me see it. I got it. Crocodile, of course. Hyena. I've got lion. Tiger.
Polar bear.
Then you got to get in. Yeah, great white. Maybe a bull. Oh, let's see. Tiger shark. I think a tiger shark's got tremendous bite power.
I thought the bull shark was supposed to be the top, but this is saying the great white.
I think pound for pound. After so, with teeth like they have, it doesn't matter.
All right, yeah. That's it. The strongest bite force in the world is a saltwater croc.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, let's see. Let's take out some more. Let's see. You say hyena. Is it total or pound per pound? I mean, probably the biggest in the world since it's the biggest. Okay, so, well, maybe a hippo.
Yeah, the hippo is listed as number 5.
Okay.
3,000 pounds per square inch.
Wow.
Know what it says? No, there it is. 1,800 pounds per square inch of biting force. 1,800. Jeez. Compared to what does a saltwater croc have?
That's got to be right up there. Pretty awesome, I think.
A 3,700 PSI from a 17-footer.
Yeah.
It says they're responsible for 3,000 to 5,000 human deaths per year. Saltwater croc.
You know, they're one species that understands when and where people go to be by the water. And they're not really hunting humans. They're hunting food. You just happen to be supplying it. Yeah.
Right.
Well, I'm missing a couple. Does it separate? Does it get it to like the alligator or the it's the narrow nose?
The Nile croc. It's got the Nile crocodile here.
Okay, yeah. Jeez.
16 feet, 3,000 PSI. It's a nice picture of one getting ready to nail some sort of bird. I don't know why that bird's just standing there. But the American alligator is number 4.
Yeah, okay.
2008. But what I found out, what I heard about those, the alligators, at least, because we used to go to Florida when I was a kid all the time, and there was this place called, what the heck was it called? They had the glass bottom boats that you can go through the swamps in and see all this life. But the guy said that you could actually hold an alligator's mouth shut with your thumb and forefinger because they don't have a lot of strength to open it, but they do closing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why they put tape. That's pretty secure tape.
Yeah. I don't think I'd want to try it.
Yeah, it's like. I just caught the baboon and pushed the laptop. That's pretty funny. Take them back. See, what time are we at? 35. We've got a few more minutes. For anybody who just stumbled into the room, don't know where you are. You're at the Man Cave with Steven 76 and myself, Jay Hatter, talking about anything comes to mind at this time, at this point. We will be in the future. We'll be talking about Bob Lazar, the life and struggle of a man who went public about Area 51 and paid for it. But he's still around. But he says he's surprised also that he thought at one point that they were just going to get a long walk in the desert.
Yeah.
But once you become too public, you don't want to disappear. That would have been a little obvious. Let's hit the pissed off baboon.
There he is.
Oscar Mayer is now selling frozen wiener pops. Shame on you.
Break a tooth.
They don't look good either. It's flattened. Hot dog with those frozen mustard on it.
Did you find pictures?
It showed up on the article. I must have just been flying by it the first time that it loaded up. Let's see if I can copy this. Oh, don't do that.
About Oscar Mayer's cold dog.
Yeah.
Hot dog gelato.
Oh, God. That's
hot dog flavored popsicles. Oh, my God. It's terrible.
I can't think of anything really. That it?
Or it's cut in half, maybe.
I can't think of anything as more inappropriate than that. You think of anything in the past that the...
Wow.
Well, okay. An Ice Age bison was discovered, then soon eaten. Shortly after researchers unearthed the mummified body of a 55,000-year-old steppe bison, in the Alaska tundra, they sliced off a piece of its neck to eat. Oh, man. Even if you did that, you wouldn't really share it. So it must have been flash frozen.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, sad news. Former NFL player Monty Teo. Hard for you to forget. In 2012, the star of Notre Dame linebacker, Monty Teo's grandmother died. Just hours later, his girlfriend died of leukemia. Rising above the tragedy, Steve don't stop on the field of Notre Dame and went on to for a winning season. Jesus. Just vent that into anger on a football field.
Yeah. Yes.
You block him. I ain't going to block him. You block him.
Be like, Forrest Whitaker's character in Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yep. Messed up his car. I was looking at Spicoli. I was looking at the highest percentage of predator in nature. Who has the biggest success rate? And the wild dogs have like 66% success, which is huge. But there's one there's something that is like 100% and is just devastating. That's the flipping dragonfly.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, everybody knows that the insects were bigger back in the with the dinosaurs. Could you imagine a dragonfly about the size of an eagle?
The Mrs. Nemesis and I, we actually watched a video about dragonflies a few weeks ago, and how they spend the majority of their lives are spent underwater. The dragonfly part of it is actually a very small part of their life.
Yeah, the it's a nymph.
Yeah,
I think it's called some. But the praying mantis and the dragonfly. We could have evolved. They say that we could have evolved down a reptilian evolutionary tree rather than a mammalian. They said that's very, very possible, you know. So all these sci-fi things that have been written about in the past about the reptilians could be absolutely true. Oh, and the we discussed this last time was the squid and octopus. The intelligence there is pretty high. The cephalopods. Never heard. But we always, when we were fishing, dragonfly lands on the tip of your pole. What does that mean, Steven?
Oh boy, I've never heard this one.
Oh, okay. It's basically when you're trolling into the dragonfly. It's just a sign of good luck.
I can see that.
Yeah, the different colored ones. Okay.
Yeah, they are very pretty, and they're all over the place right now.
Well, the more bugs, the more food. You know, talking gnats and stuff. And they grab everything. They grab everything out of mid-flight, mid-air.
They're definitely very agile, especially, and they can see pretty much in every direction at the same time.
It showed the mechanics of their wings. It's one of a kind in nature, to where most others have a indirect muscle group to fly in, or an indirect. Anything with the direct. When they flap their wings, it compresses their chest capacity. So their breathing and everything is in tune with each other, right? A dragonfly doesn't have that because it can it has specialized muscles that can turn off and on two sets of wings, right?
Yes. I thought it was cool how they look like helicopters. Or do helicopters look like dragonflies?
Yeah. Yeah, it's too bad all the little dragons died off. Huh?
Yeah.
The dragons.
Is it just a nymph? No, just nymph. That's it. It was just called a nymph.
Yeah, water nymph. I think it's a stage. Uh-oh, another massive sinkhole discovered in Chile. Authorities are puzzled. 656-foot deep sinkhole. Perfectly round. Jesus.
Hmm.
It's near a mining site.
No.
Yeah, let's go figure. What the frack? Why do so many bikes end up underwater? The reasons can be weird and varied. You don't want to get caught with a stolen property. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Just really quick. I wanted to go back because I wanted to look it up during the life cycle of the dragonfly. They are a nymph for up to 5 years, and then they only spend about 6 months as dragonflies.
No kidding, 5 years.
Yep.
I think that's one of the, if you're to try to get natural bait off the shore, you can find them in the rocks. I think that's what those nymphs are. Gotta be.
Yeah. But then you cut that 5 years short.
That's that, yeah. I'll tell you what, I fished when I was a kid. We would take Sunday early afternoon off. That was the only day off we got. We went to the Malad River, and the last summer I was up there was when the rabbits and the grasshoppers were really bad, so it wasn't hard to get bait. You just walk through the fields and collect all these grasshoppers. These cutthroat trout in the Malad River, let's just say they weren't stocked. You threw a grasshopper out there, it was on, and probably one of the most fighting fish I've ever wrestled on the side. But great bait. And if you ran out of grasshoppers, you could just pull up the rocks and get these nymphs. They look like mealworms almost. You ever go sturgeon fishing? Sturgeon fishing?
No, I never have. I think there are some out there, but I never got after them.
I ran across the video where these guys are on the I can't remember the river, gosh darn it. But it's very, very narrow, very deep, very swift. And you can actually see the fish in it. These things, they were 200-pound sturgeon just cruising the bottom of this freaking big creek.
Yeah, a lot of people think that the Lake Erie Monster is probably a sturgeon.
Yeah. They, when I used to go to Folsom Lake is the closest lake to me, and when I had my boat, me and my buddy or me and my dad, we'd go out every Saturday, every weekend. I was on the lake, got to know the lake very like the back of my hand. And every time I went out there, I saw this old guy in this camouflage flat-bottom boat with a self-made tarp cover. He's always out there. I'd always see him fish over where I was up the South Fork in the morning, but then he'd always head to the deep water late morning and stay out in the afternoon. So one day I go, what is he fishing for? I mean, he doesn't have downriggers or anything, so got to talking to him, and when I the time I did talk to him, it was a drizzling cold fall day, and he had his wife out there. So I went up to introduce myself and started talking to him. I said, I see you heading out to the deep water all the time. What do you catch him deep out there? And his wife goes, go ahead, tell him. Go ahead, tell him. Like, this is a story he's told many times. I guess a year before, or 2 years before, he was in his boat. He hooked something down deep at the dam that gave him a Missouri boat ride around the lake for like an hour and a half before it broke. And so he goes, I know it's one of those white sturgeon that were landlocked when Folsom Dam was built. And I forget. He's on a mission, and I wonder if he ever did get hooked into it again.
Yeah.
sturgeon are bottom feeders. They're bottom feeders. I don't think you'd have to have a mud shrimp or something that laid on the bottom, and it's like 500 feet deep of the dam. So.
I just put a picture on the. On the board of Lake Erie, because Kay and I actually went on a cruise last weekend, and I took a few pictures. Yeah, they threw one up there.
All I see is a cold, you know, the cold dog. Oop. You put it on a, okay, food fight.
Yeah, you might have to refresh.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing now. Yeah, this looks like a freaking ocean.
Yeah.
You see something out there till about 10 o'clock.
That's one of those Great Lakes freighters way out there.
Yeah, maybe it's Edmund Fitzgerald.
Maybe it could have been the Arthur Anderson, which was the boat that was in contact with the Fitzgerald before she went down.
Yeah, just on one swell, wasn't it? They were visible. They went down to the swell. When they came back up, she was gone.
Pretty much. I think she cracked in half. I think that he strayed too close to one of the islands and put a big hole in his hull because he said he felt a thud, and then a big old wave picked up her back end, and she slid right in. That's what they're thinking.
Yeah. But I guess it's the captain's job to make sure that you don't go peak to peak when you're bow to stern. That'll break your boat in half.
Yeah. That obviously happened too, because the pictures of it now on the bottom, it's in two pieces.
Oh, it is. Oh, okay. What a cool song. I've been trying to think of a song where we could dissect, get the meaning from a little historical meaning. Edmund Fitzgerald, that's a good one. I'll write that down. How deep is the water right there? We took that picture. Is that just a...
Probably not. I'd say probably not even maybe 40.
Okay.
Yeah, we weren't out. The good time is the boat that we were on, and they go a little ways outside the breakwalls over by Cleveland, and then they come back in and take a little cruise down the Cuyahoga and then take you back.
So there's a shelf out there?
Oh, yeah. And Lake Erie's not a very deep lake. It's actually the shallowest of the Great Lakes. That's why she gets angry so easily.
Oh, man, I was at the southern tip of Lake Ontario for 3 weeks. And the flipping weather, it was actually some snow had fallen. This was in May.
Fallen
in the morning. And then the afternoon, the wind stopped, the sun was out, and it was blistering hot. And that late afternoon, it moved in and had lightning storms. Bam.
Yeah. God. Yeah, you can get it all in one day here.
Yeah, well, California's all geared up to burn again. This is the last really hot days have started some thunder showers up, thunder lightning strikes up north. I waited to hear how many... We lost a lot of towns last year.
Yeah.
Historic old towns, yeah. But they
nature
know.
Can
I
be.
The one fire marshal says every square inch of this state will burn at one time.
Yeah, a little
yes,
muffled there.
Say.
Yeah.
Okay, take my. Hand off the mic. Is that better?
Oh!
All right.
The other day, we had tornado sirens going off here.
You actually have sirens for the tornadoes.
Yeah.
Wow. Did they touch down?
No, I guess I don't think so. At least not here. It kind of shot over us a lot faster than they thought it would. And went to the next county, but I think everybody was safe. It's just kind of a bad feeling when you hear those sirens go off.
Yeah, makes you pop your head up and take a look around. Huh?
Yeah.
That's one thing.
Like, what the
California? What's that?
Is that your first thought? Is always, yeah. What the hell is that?
Yeah. My cousin, who grew up in Reno, Nevada, he joined the Air Force, and he became a dentist. He was a dentist, or stayed in for a career. He got moved to Oklahoma, and he tells a story. He's cruising down the highway, and every time he passes a car, the car stopped. He's got their headlights, and they're flashing them at him, and he's waving back at, you know, no big deal. He goes, then all of a sudden he thinks, well, it's happened so many times, maybe something's wrong with my car. So he pulls over, gets out of the car, there's a damn tornado freaking chasing his ass. He didn't know it. He had his windows up, didn't hear the sirens. People are trying to freaking tell him, man, you got a tornado behind you. Gets out, there's one hunting his ass down.
Wow.
Because you don't play your stereo real loud in Oklahoma.
Yeah, no. And then the way they make them sound, too, they say it sounds like a freight train. You know, living so close to the lake, and sometimes we get winds right off the lake, those winds can sound like a freight train sometimes. So there's a lot of times I'm, like, poking up and get out the weather app and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that movie Twister does a good job with the sounds.
Yeah, good movie.
Pressure changes. We that's one thing in California we don't have a lot of is tornadoes, but we have had a couple touchdown. One was in the next town up is Roseville. That's the town where the bombs were going off. The railroad depot blew up years and years ago. Anyway, tornado. They saw it in the sky and decided to reach down and touch it right on top of a car dealership.
No.
So all it did is just tore that car dealership up and then disappeared. But we've had a supercell. When I lived downtown, we had a supercell right over the top of me. It dropped almost a full foot of hail. And the wind was so bad, and there was no time between flash of light, the lightning, and the thunder. It was instantaneous.
Oh yeah, yeah, that gets pretty freaky. I always like to tell this story, and then I'm going to have to get going. It is midnight, but when my son was still very little, I don't know if I've told you this one before or not. He was still in a high chair. And we were living in the place that we were living in when we first started out. And this big, huge bay window in front of the front room where I was feeding him. And, you know, there was a storm. It was obviously raining outside. But this freaking bolt of lightning slams down into the front yard and loud, you know, boom. And I jumped, and I saw he jumped. And I was looking at him, and I was waiting for him to start crying. And all of a sudden, he just started laughing so hard. I don't know if it was my expression that did it to him or what, but it was just like.
Yeah. Or he thought he did that.
Yeah, maybe.
That's the, yeah, because usually that noise would get him to cry.
Right, yeah, that's what I was waiting for, and he didn't. He just, all of a sudden, he started laughing really hard.
Just to make you feel better.
Maybe.
Yeah. 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 All right. Well, we'll do this again in a month.
Yes, sir.
And always a pleasure, Steve. We'll see you one place or the other. Trying to get back to the studio. I want to play a song.
Yeah. While you're doing that, I'll let you know something. Guess what's what the 40th anniversary is of on Labor Day weekend?
40th. So that would have been 82?
Yep.
What would that be?
Con!
Oh, that's a, damn, that old? God.
Yep. Kay and I are going to go see it in the theater. They're going to show it in the theater that weekend. We're going to go see it.
Take a camera with you. Make a underground.
All righty. I will see you later.
I will see you next time. Yep. And the is that the wind?
That was the wind.
I didn't know I was in here.
Hi, Kay.
Hello.
Okay, I'm going to scroll around looking for something to play. So,
all
right. I want to thank everybody that's going to listen, because this is an archive show. People are just going to run across it, play it. And they get better and better, I hope. Once we figure out what we're going to be
care.
Doing. Yeah, all right.
Good night.
Lightning. Are you there, Deb? Yeah, I'd like to thank Steven for spending the last Friday.
Yep.
Very much with me. Deborah, thank you so much.
No problem. I like listening to the two of you guys. Coming for Hatter.
Playing. What song do you want to hear?
Don't know.
Let's play Alice.
I can do that.
Shinedown. Shinedown, a group formed 2001. Alex Smith is the lead singer, recreated for record company. This singing the song. Her name was Alice.
Here we go.
Her name is Alice. She climbs into the wind.
Yeah, although she's dreaming, she's unlocked the meaning for you, Alice. Thank you, Deborah.
Thank you, Hatter. Thank you, Stephen. Great show, guys. Love and respect.
Yeah. We'll be seeing you tomorrow night.